Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department to back everything up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I know where you expect me to start today. I'm not going to do that because, as Matt knows, I don't do the expected. I'm going to start with what I think is important and relevant first, and that is the fact that Penn State has added a 23rd recruit, Chimney Ono, an offensive lineman, listed really as an offensive tackle, four-star recruit, fourth-rated player in Maryland, signed his letter of intent today and did send it into Penn State. So on this is the late signing period. This is the period where Penn State picked up Venga Ioane last year. Now, now that I've seen Ioane in person and watched him, what a pickup he was in the late signing period. This kid can play, and Ioane's going to really help Penn State as time goes, starting especially this spring. He's got something to him. So let's see if Chimney Ono is that same kind of player, but he comes in with great credentials. He is somebody that they targeted. When he originally, believe it or not, had opted for Old Dominion. Well, he was talking to the Old Dominion people, you know, when he was going to back out of his commitment because he started to really rise on so many boards. You brought up Penn State. You know, you're talking about Ricky Ronnie and those guys. They said those guys down there couldn't say enough good things about him. So on December 18th, Penn State got in on him. I think they offered him on the 18th. And then he made the visit here in January, and today he signed. So that is a big plus and a pickup for Penn State. Adds more depth to the offensive line they're looking for. Now we'll just see how it plays out for him on the offensive line. I'm not going to sit here and project what he can and can't do. I've never seen him play. So that is something that I'm just telling you what his credentials are. I'm telling you what his backstory is. His ability to play, obviously, I trust people who are talent evaluators, such as Penn State. Now let's see about the transition he makes from high school to playing college football at Penn State and in the Big Ten. We'll see about that, and I'll have a better read on him once I actually get to see him in person. That's why I can tell you about Venga Ioane. Ioane is somebody that you've seen glimpses of. But, man, I've watched him practice now for a year, and after like the same tone I took a year ago with him as I'm taking with Chimney Ono, is that, okay, let's wait and see. I know they really like him. It seems like a really great pickup, right? It does with this one. Seems like a really great pickup. Turned out, in my opinion, Ioane was a great pickup, and let's see if Chimney Ono can be in that same vein. So that's where we start today. I'm glad that, for example, that Tom Brady did not retire tomorrow, because I would not want it to feel like it was Groundhog Day. All right, but he did retire this time. It does seem like it's for good, and an awesome career. He's 45, but you got to remember that in football years, 45 might feel like 48 to him. Here's the reason why. He has played in 48 postseason games in his career. That's three extra seasons he has played compared to other people. So instead of 23 years of NFL football, he's played 26 when you think about the extra 48 games that he has played. That's three extra seasons. That's a lot of football. And you could see the weight loss. You know, he was down 15 pounds at the end of the season. You could just sense in watching him this morning that he knew it was time. And Matt couldn't be happier.
I mean, it needed to be done. I was not shocked by it.
In fact,
but
Matt's
we'll see what happens come late March. We'll still see what happens come late March when Las Vegas and Mark Davis comes around,
so
or maybe San Francisco comes around and see.
Story there. I mean, I don't know what you can say. There have been 56 Super Bowls. He's played in 10 of them. He won 7. Yikes. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has won, what, 1 out of every 8 Super Bowls in his career? 12.5%? And with all the winning, he's going to bring with it resentment. But that's the way things seem to be today. Matt, I'm sure you want to chime in with your hate for Tom Brady.
Well, first, do you have me?
Yes, I do have you.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure about our connection there for a second. No, I
told you to hit it on the side. I keep telling you
I just
over
did.
And over
We're good
again.
Now.
Some of the stuff is made in the old Soviet Union. It only understands force.
Well, no, I was not surprised. Like I said a few weeks ago, it needed to be done. But come late March, we'll still see what happens. When Mark Davis comes a-calling or San Francisco comes a-calling.
I don't think so. I think he's done. I think you cannot go through the year that he went through. He lost 15 pounds. I think this time he's done. Okay? I think that this is one that age, year, a lot of things come into play. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you want to play for the Las Vegas Raiders because, I mean, they've got a lot of issues, especially up front. They've got a lot of issues. He doesn't need to play for a team that has issues up front. I mean, that's just my opinion about it. I this is one where a year ago I was like, okay, we'll see. Not now. This one, I strongly feel he's done. I think there is no doubt in my mind that this is it. So he rides off into the sunset and it's amazing that when you win, like he has, it brings with it people who love him. It brings with it people who hate him. People who despise him, had disdain for him. There's not really a neutral thought about Tom Brady. You're a perfect example of that. You are not a fan.
I was able to tolerate him more when he was a Buck, but overall, yeah, I wasn't a huge fan.
Why? The guy was legitimately a great player. He just wasn't a great player on your team.
I mean, there was that, I'll admit, but I just at least in the younger part of his career, I never really liked his attitude, nor did I like Bill Belichick's kind of attitude and the way they conducted themselves in the height of their winning. I think, and that was the other reason why I think people didn't like him either. But I mean, I fully respect him. I do think he is the GOAT, the greatest of all time, as far as to play the game. I'm not going to dispute that.
Well, it's interesting with him. You know, they had the two runs. The Patriots had two major runs where they went 3 out of 4 the first time. Then there was the next one, which I think was also a 3 out of 4, if I recall correctly. People don't realize for 10 years the Patriots did not win the Super Bowl. And I think that's something that people forget. There was a 10-year period where the Patriots did not win the Super Bowl. They got there a couple times, and the Giants beat them each time during that 10-year span. And that was something that was always interesting about Brady's career, is that there was that gap of 10 years where the Patriots were good and he was getting to championship games. And then, you know, in a couple of championship games they won, because he ended up in 14 out of 21 championship games. 14 out of 21? But there was that 10-year span with the Patriots where, yeah, they got the championship games, won a couple times, lost to the Giants each time, and they did not win all of it. And then finally they were able to break through and win when they beat Seattle, which was obviously big. Now, then they beat the Falcons, then they beat the Rams. But it's amazing how they were clustered together, both the Super Bowl runs, so close. What he did with Tampa Bay was great. I mean, you know, I mean, I realize it was an odd year. Fans, like at the end of the season, started to be allowed in. It was a little bit different. You know, they went up to Green Bay. They won at Green Bay. But there were 13,000 people there, or some nutty number like that. And they won, and then of course I thought in recent years I've done a good job of picking the Super Bowl. That was one I missed. I picked Kansas City to beat them in the Super Bowl, and you know, and to their credit, they tore them apart. They tore them apart. It was and played great, and I thought he'd be able to keep it going one more year there, because I mean, with Evans and Godwin, I mean, you know, he had the best set of receivers he had had in his career. Because when he was at New England, he really only had legitimately one great receiver, and that was Randy Moss. And essentially, with Moss, they didn't win the title. They lost. They were 18-0, and they lost to the Giants. He's the best receiver he ever played with, was Randy Moss, and it showed. Because that season they were phenomenal together. That's the season Brady threw 50 touchdown passes. But, you know, he always had good receivers. Julian Edelman was a good receiver. Wes Welker was a good receiver. It's interesting how the best receiver that he had consistently was Rob Gronkowski. You know, the ability to look around like, okay, who's my best guy here? You know, we talk about how Penn State utilized its tight ends in the past couple of years, especially this season, how they utilized the tight ends, because they were among the better receivers they had. Well, same thing with him and Gronkowski. And that's how they utilized it. It was a little bit different than how everybody else played, because I think in part because they had to play that way. Your personal disdain for him has always been remarkable.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
You're no fan.
Overall, I was not, no.
Because he wasn't your guy. If he was your guy, you'd be all over it. You can admit that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. You know, he wasn't your guy. That's fine. Yeah. It's always been one of the funny things about with me. People like know I grew up in New England. I've never been a Patriots fan. I never have been. Like, but it doesn't mean I can't look over at him and say, you know what? That is one great football player right there. Great understanding of the game. His pre-snap stuff was tremendous. I mean, he just really knew where the other 21 chess pieces were on the board. I'd say he probably knew where the other 21 pieces on the chessboard happened to be probably 80% of the time. And that's remarkable for any quarterback to know where all 21 pieces are 80% of the time. And I always felt he was like that in his ability to play the game. And, you know, the praise he gets as a player, he should get. He earned it. You know, you get there, you get it done. Right? He's behind in his game. Or, you know, He's tied in his game against the Rams. They're an underdog. He does what people don't expect him to do, right? Because remember, people didn't think he could do this. When the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, do you realize in the playoffs that year, they had scored only three offensive touchdowns in the playoff to get there, and one of them was thrown by Drew Bledsoe? So do you? So you're in the first Super Bowl. They're back in the 20-yard line. His best receiver is Troy Brown. And he directs them downfield, and he gets them the field goal with Vinatieri. And I give Belichick and Charlie Weiss a lot of credit for having the confidence in him to do that. But they only had scored three offensive touchdowns in the playoffs, and Bledsoe threw one of them in Pittsburgh when Brady got hurt. Now, the second one where they came from behind, obviously, was when they beat Carolina down in Houston, and he directed them downfield. That was the day that people don't forget. Vinatieri kicked the game-winning field goal in that one. Vinatieri didn't have a good day. He had missed a couple of field goals earlier in that game, and he directs them down. He gets them in the spot. They kick, and they win. Against Philadelphia, you know, the Patriots were, for the most part, in control of the game for the most part. The Eagles had a chance to get the ball to come back and tie, but we all know that Donovan McNabb was maybe not exactly emotionally ready for the moment. We'll leave it at that. You were a little cute. How old were you in that?
I was in sixth grade for that Super Bowl.
And you're still sick about it to this day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're still mad.
I feel better about it now that the Eagles have had one, especially since they beat Brady and the Patriots. But yeah, I still don't look fondly on that game.
Well, do you feel like that one is worth seven?
It won't feel that way anymore if the Eagles can win next week.
Well, you got the better team. I will say your quarter. I expect Hurts to play better. I do. So please, I expect him to play to his standard. He did not play well against San Francisco.
Agreed.
Now, he didn't make any big mistakes. He didn't throw an interception. He didn't fumble the ball. It just seemed like that half step off.
Yep.
Right? And, of course, your comment about how they dominated the San Francisco defense was, like, the 49ers like had no offense. They gave up a whopping 10 points in the second half. Yep, they got dominated, all right. It's just a bad circumstance. I don't know what they're going to do there. That's a bad circumstance. I don't think I've ever seen that. Yeah, in a big game like that, where all of a sudden you looked around and said, we're out of people. The Eagles have nothing to do with it. They just have to go out and play. Oh, by the way, the Kelce brothers do not like this being called the Kelce Bowl.
That doesn't shock me. Those are the kind of people they are.
Nobody would want it to be called that. Come on. That's the kind of people they are. That's how anybody is. There's nobody who does this. I'm hoping this is called the Harbaugh Bowl. Like, I'm looking around like, no. Well, anybody who has any concept of team sports would never want it to be called that. Okay, that makes them average, Matt, not exceptional. Okay?
I guess that's true.
All right? Let's not build up something that's just not real. It doesn't make them exceptional. They feel that way. They're like looking around like, I got teammates. This isn't about, like, you know? I mean, for goodness sakes. You know, like, you and I are out there. It's a team sport. You, me, okay? And then what the sales staff can do, all right? But, like, you know, it may be a small team, but we're a team, right? This is not, it may have my name on it, but you know darn well how much credit I give you for what goes on. So, I wish, just wish once in a while you'd give me a little.
I'll work on it.
Man, I'll tell you, I'm going to have a long talk with Lisa. Lisa, I don't get it. Right. Especially that part of the Steve Jones Show featuring Matt Cotrillo. We got to get your rant of the day, by the way. Need your rant. Because I can tell you're all geared up.
I got some things off my sleeve that I can rant about.
Up your sleeve. I'm telling you, we need to get it sponsored.
I'm all for it.
The rant of the day brought to you by Bucknell Basketball.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a great service department that backs it all up. Fabulous service. One-stop shopping. It's all our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. DJ Bryant, by the way, leaving Colorado, going to Penn State football as part of the recruiting coordination staff at Penn State for football. So that goes. And then, of course, today with Chimdi Ono, who has signed his letter of intent, 23rd for Penn State. And that will be the one that they'll get on this late signing period. All right. The emails and the text messages are flowing in. People want badly the Matt Cotrillo rant of the day.
Well, actually, now this is from a couple of days ago. Well, actually, this all ties into one. I'll do it this way. So, this of course goes around the Broncos, who I think are heading down a very bad path of more incompetency between what this ownership has done so far and what lies ahead with
this
the quarterback
ownership,
that they have.
Let me ask you something. What has the ownership done so far? They did not hire that coaching staff. They did not make the trade for Russell Wilson. Okay, this ownership group is brand new. So they haven't done that. It's the previous ownership that did that.
Well, I'm talking about just this and going in. The whole transition just has been bad for the Broncos, where they're setting up their franchise to fail right now. And really nowhere, almost putting the franchise in purgatory right now because you're at the mercy of this insane Russell Wilson contract.
Right, I understand that, but you know what? I think you know what Sean Payton thinks? I think he means he could mean three. They won five games this year. They may win eight, possibly nine next year. Because look at the talent they have on that team. It's not a talentless team.
Yeah, they were bit by the injury bug this year. I will give you that.
They are not a talentless team. Now, are they a top 10 talent team in the NFL? No. But they are not devoid of talent. Now, can they keep that talent healthy? We'll see. We'll find out. Wilson is a quarterback that, when you watch what they did in Seattle, they're very much a stationary, you know, in terms of pre-snap. And Sean Payton is more of a movement guy before the snap. And look, Russell Wilson's going to have to go along with what Sean Payton says. But this guy has a good feel for the game, has a good feel for offense. Everywhere he's gone, whether it was with the Giants, whether it was with the Cowboys, and obviously with the Saints, he's always seemed to have a good feel for it. I think that he can take five wins, stay relatively healthy, and I think the Broncos could get themselves to 7-8 wins, maybe, you know, and a top out, like a dream would be 9.
But then there's this, though. I question, especially if I'm a Bronco fan, how really invested were they in Sean Payton? Because if you saw the report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, they were still negotiating with D'Amico Ryans trying to get him back before they went to Sean Payton. Now, I get it if you can get a good candidate over another good candidate without having to give up anything. I get that to some extent. But if Sean Payton is your guy, you're going to do whatever it is to get your guy. It's like the draft. Do what you got to do to get your guy. So if he wasn't your guy, then why are you giving up all this compensation?
Because supposedly they did go and talk to Harbaugh one more time, and they went to Ann Arbor to do it last week.
That leads me to my next point. Yeah. Both sides here. This just leads to, how really in were they on Sean Payton? Because in their mind, they just had like a 1A, 1B, 1C. I don't know if I like that necessarily when you're trying to get a head coach. You need to make a decision on one guy and go for him. Jim Harbaugh certainly is not that, first of all. I would not think that of any of those three candidates. And on Jim Harbaugh's side of things, once again, you're showing his wishy-washy weaselness of saying, I'm all committed to Michigan. Well, guess what, pal? Then why did you invite the Walmart people to come in and have a meeting with you in Ann Arbor to talk about the head coaching vacancy for the Broncos? I mean, that just keeps going with Jim Harbaugh.
Look, Jim Harbaugh is committed to Jim Harbaugh, and he's committed to his team when the moment, happens.
Exactly. He's a weasel. He's selfish. He's only thinking about himself.
As for the Broncos, I'm sitting there, and I've traded. The previous regime has traded away some draft capital. Okay, is there a way for me to then minimize draft capital losses with my head coaching selection? So, yeah, do I talk to Harbaugh? Sure. Do I talk to D'Amico Ryans? Sure. If I'm not getting a feeling that's the way we need to go, and now I have to give up draft capital to get this guy, right? Then I feel that's got something to do with it, where you're sitting there saying, okay, the previous regime took away some draft capital. Now how do I make this work? And that may have entered into why it took as long as it did before they finally said, you know what, we're just going to have to bite the bullet and do it.
That's still just, I mean, I get it because you don't want to give up that compensation, but again, if he really is your guy, then he'd be worth it, and you're not trying to go back and forth with all these other different scenarios and candidates.
Well, number one, you do have to interview, regardless. Okay, you do have to interview a minority candidate.
Right? Yeah, the Rooney Rule. I get that.
So the Rooney Rule, you do have to follow it. If you're not following it, then you've got big problems. The question is, let's take Houston for example. Houston's not only followed the Rooney Rule, but that's three straight hires they've made.
Right.
Okay. Now, they've only lasted 1 year each. We'll see how long D'Amico Ryans lasts. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to get more than a year. It kind of felt like the last two were stopgap hires because absolutely older coaches. Ryan's is not that. He's a young, quote, rising coaching star, people feel. We'll find out. It's, a lot of that has to do with what your talent level around you happens to be, as we found out with various guys during the course of their careers. Why was Belichick less successful in Cleveland than he was in New England? Oh, geez, I don't know. Why did the Patriots struggle this year? I don't know. Maybe they don't have as much talent, right? So I think that's got something to do with it. I mean, it's not money. When it comes to the money part of it, the Broncos will not be shy on it. The Broncos were somewhat of a mess before, and that was in part because Pat Boland in his later years did not have a succession plan in place in Denver. And I think that ended up affecting the franchise more than anything else. And I think that they decided to make the move for Russell Wilson because of the success they had when they made the move with Peyton Manning. And it was just because I was talking to Micah Shrewsbury today. For whatever reason, the Colts came up. And I said, yeah, I said, the interesting thing is that when Manning left the Colts and they cut him loose, I was in Indianapolis that day because it was during the Big Ten tournament. It's like, holy mackerel. And I mean, the newspaper, every article about what he'd done, and, you know, and it was amazing. Like, everything he had meant to Indianapolis, like, way more, like, off the field, he and his wife. And I'd never realized until I sat there, I'm reading all these articles, like, they did this. You were talking about a guy who was fully invested in the area. He was. So I think the Broncos probably felt, well, this worked one other time. Let's do it again. Now, this is the previous regime that did that. So I'm sensing you're not a fan, and what, now you're buying all your stuff at Target?
No, I do continue to go to Walmart. It's just I just think the football team's going to be a mess.
But
I don't care, because I don't like the football team, so it doesn't matter. I'm an Eagle fan.
But every time you go to Walmart now, you're helping out Russell Wilson's salary.
Doesn't matter. He's still going to stink up the place anyway, what I think. So now, if the Eagles somehow play the Broncos in the Super Bowl way down the road, then maybe I'll stop going to Walmart. But until then, it's no threat to me.
Well, I'm glad it's not a threat to you. Oh, goodness gracious. It's not a threat to you. So, Mike McCarthy's going to be the play caller for the Cowboys this season, by the way.
Oh, my almighty!
So, and then there's... I just want to quickly touch, only just as a news item, just to touch on it. Because I don't think, I mean, there's really nowhere for me to go with this, and there's nowhere for, I think, anybody to go with this. That Eagles offensive lineman Josh Sills, who played in, what, one game this year?
If that, yeah.
Was indicted on one count of rape and one count of kidnapping, both first-degree felonies in Ohio. He's been put on, the Eagles have put him on, what list is he put
on? Oh, he was
here?
Put on the commissioner's exempt list.
Commissioner's exempt list, okay.
Yeah, so he can't have any contact with the team, so he's not going to be with the team in Arizona, or actually not with them right now, period.
Right. I mean, it just means, you know, again, every time something like this happens, who ends up answering all the questions? The players and the coach, and none of them have anything to say, zero, look, you can't really get too deep into it. It just means that all they can say is they're aware of it.
And I don't even know how much they'll get asked about it anyway, because this guy doesn't really do much for the organization right now. Like I think this is almost, if it weren't as bad of allegations as it is, I think this is almost a non-story.
Well, in terms of his ability to play, yeah, but you know they're around him every day.
Right, but I mean, like it's not like we're talking about one of the starting offense. It's not like this is like Lane Johnson or any of the guys on the starting Eagles offensive line. It's like a third stringer.
That's not my point. Okay, they're going to get asked about him because they're around him every day. Now, at that point, does he have anything to do with the winning and losing of the game? No. Does it have to do with on media day? Will other players be asked about him? Hey, you were in the same room with Sills. What did you know? Did you get any impression? You know what I mean? You know, it's not going to mean anything. It'll be nothing to the outcome. But it doesn't mean that they won't get asked about him. All right, that Nick Sirianni won't get asked about him. That the offensive line coach won't get asked about him. That the offensive line guys won't get asked about him, because they will get asked about him. You know, it may be a question, but they'll still get asked, only because that you've got 4,000 to 5,000 media people there. You're going to tell.
Oh yeah,
I
wouldn't be surprised if they got asked a question or two, but it's not like they're going to be bombarded, because he's not a big player for this team.
No, everybody knows that, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it's still when you're looking for a week where there really is going to be no news, and there will be no news. Okay, and some of the questions that will be asked on media day will be from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Right? Yeah, we know that. Yeah.
Right, you're also going to have some people that will ask, quote, some serious stuff, either about the game, about a player, or an instance such as this. And all I have to do is like, hey, look, I'm not going to comment on that. I mean, we're around them; we don't really know them. Yeah, that's all they got to do. I mean, just make it that simple. But they will get asked. I mean, I wouldn't minimize it too much. They will get asked. I mean, you act like he was on a separate practice field the entire time for 4 months.
Oh yeah, I mean, if they get asked a question or two, fine. But I'm really not that worried about it.
Oh, I don't. There's nothing to worry about. I said I brought it up as a news item.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
Right? It's just something that. In other words, people listening to the show, just be aware if you hear the next week somebody's asked about it, here's the reason why. That's the only reason why I brought it up. So, the fact that you'd even worry about it bothers me. Why are you worried?
I mean, if this were involved a key player, then yeah, I'd be worried.
Like one of the keys, in like worry about, like, for example, your mortgage. Like, that's something to worry about.
That's up there too, but I know we're in pretty good shape with that right now, so it's all right.
Oh, I see. Oh, good. Yeah, great. You know, what school am I going to put my kids in? Worry about stuff like that. Price of eggs. Worry about that.
Well, that's definitely there. Both of those items.
Worried about the pregame interviews going to a game. Not so worried. Just so you know, I did the pregame show with Micah Shrewsbury. Guess which question I never asked him.
Oh, coming back to Purdue.
Yep. You want to know why?
Because it doesn't matter.
Because he's the head basketball coach at Penn State. So I asked him about his team. And I asked about the matchup. In fact, the first question I asked him was about Jalen Pickett. And the reason I asked him about Pickett is this. I told him, and I prefaced it. I said, 37 years I've been a voter for the Wooden Award. This week I got an email that for the first time ever included the name of a Penn State basketball player on it. It said, when you recruited him, what did you see, and what has he become? Now, that's not as interesting probably as, golly gee, how's it feel to be back here in Mackey Arena, Micah? Gee, Steve.
No, actually, that is interesting. Because of the significance of it, it's the first time that a Penn State player has been on there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... Now, he'll have something to do with the winning and losing tonight.
A little bit, so. Yes.
A lot of it. I mean, and we'll get into that in a little bit. It's going to be... Purdue's interesting. They are the number one team. They're unanimous. I know we have to take a break. They do a great job. I mean, Matt Painter's done a great job with this team. He's got two freshman guards. Lawyer is shooting the ball better now than he was actually 4 weeks ago when they played in the Palestra. Smith is a little bit off compared to where he was. But for the most part, those freshman guards who have logged lots of minutes should be hitting the wall about now, and they're both doing just fine. I mean, they're good players. And Edie is, you know, and Edie helps out. I mean, there's no question about that. But he's a little bit better passer than people think he is. And I'm impressed. You know, I'll get into a couple little things about the game in the next half hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. I feel like all your rants were like I ended up watering them down.
I mean, so most people do, so it's okay.
I apologize for that. Just, you know, but there were a couple of factual things. Like, this regime did not bring in Russell Wilson. They have nothing to do with it. Zero. Just so you know. You know, they have nothing to do with it. Just want to make sure. Now, when you go in and see the big smiley face that tells you that instead of it costing you like, you know, $5, it's $4.87, you know, I don't want you to feel like, you know, like, okay. I want you to feel good about it. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.